Today is a special treat for us because we are going to not only participate in the Lord's Supper, but we are going to have the opportunity to commission to the deaconate, Eddie Schuff. And many of you know him. His wife is just playing the piano, Darlene, and they have two wonderful sons, Ethan and Aiden. And so we're going to start this morning by asking Eddie to come up and share his testimony. And it is a blessing, so I know you'll be blessed, because I was earlier this morning when I got to hear it.
Good morning. Is this thing on? Good morning. Oh, okay, good. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Edward Schuff. I usually go by Eddie. Of course, I'm a dad and husband of many years, so I've pretty much answered about anything. I grew up going to church in Sellersburg, Indiana. That's where I'm from. First Baptist Church there. About every Sunday. Every Sunday morning we do Sunday school as well as worship service. Back then, the church really didn't have a lot of activities for our youth, our kiddos, and so I really wasn't plugged into a core group of believers. But I did befriend a youth pastor there who influenced my Christian walk. His name was Don Williams. It's not the country singer Don Williams. But one day, anyhow, he asked me to go out to my favorite restaurant back then. It was Mr. Gaddy's. Actually, Darlene's least favorite restaurant, oddly enough. But anyway, on the way back, I had told Don that I had accepted Christ as my Savior and acknowledge that Christ paid a price for my sin, and that I wanted to make that public and be baptized. Later that month, I went forward, made a profession of faith, and was baptized. I'd love to stand up here and tell you guys that's where it ends, but, you know, it wasn't the case. I was hanging out with some people I shouldn't be hanging out with. I was hanging out with many of them. We're not Christians. We're non-believers, and I'm sure I did a lot of things that certainly weren't pleasing to the Lord. All the while, though, I was still attending church pretty much every Sunday, just going through the motions. After high school, I went to Vincennes University, where I graduated and obtained my airframe and power plant license. I got my first job in aviation maintenance at an airline called American Transair in Indianapolis, Indiana. It was there I met my beautiful wife, Darlene, through a mutual friend, and a couple years later, we married. We attended a very small church, a little country church, and if any of you have ever attended, there's like 100 people there, so it was all hands on deck, so to speak. There's plenty of opportunities to serve, and we did serve. And, you know, it was at that time that I could really feel the Holy Spirit working in my life, and, you know, I felt conviction in my past sin, and I really had a strong desire to have a stronger relationship with Christ. I slowly started growing in my spiritual walk, and I can recall specific events that God used to draw me closer to Him. For example, you know, me and Darlene, through the years, I've learned that, you know, everything is in His timing, and it's in His will, in His control. You know, we had the desire to have children, and but we knew whatever the outcome was, it was going to be His will, and we had to trust in that. After 5 years of marriage and really a roller coaster of fertility issues, we had sweet little Ethan. He's not so little now, but anyhow. At that time, I was working as an aircraft mechanic for over 8 years, and 9/11 happened. Of course, that tore the aviation industry upside down. It was volatile at best, and I knew layoffs were coming, and really relied on the Lord. I mean, we just put it all in His hands, and sure enough, in 2005, I was laid off from American Transair and began to search for another job. You know, we were fully relying on the Lord. We put it in His hands. I can't stand up here and tell you that I wasn't scared, because I was. But, you know, it's hard to explain because most people haven't heard of ATA here, but Indianapolis, it was a big airline. Not as big as United, but it was pretty good size. And, which, oh, by the way, United was laying off, all the airlines were laying off mechanics. It was 9/11. So up there, anyhow, the industry was saturated with skilled people, you know, skilled mechanics looking for work. So I knew well, I really didn't think I'd find a job. And within 2 weeks, Lord provided us a job at Indianapolis Fire and Light. And then later he blessed us with Aiden. You know, that year my mother became very ill with a heart condition. And when me and Darlene, you know, talked about it, and we said, well, I'd like to move back down to Sellersburg to be with her and my dad. So I took a job with UPS, but it was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Way it worked back then is if you could go do that for 3 or 6 months, there'd be an opening in Louisville, and you'd be able to transfer to Louisville, so I'd be at the Louisville hub. So we said, well, you know what? God provided it for us, we're going to do it. So we did that. Well, you know, during that time, the Lord once again used that struggle in the unknown of the future, and he provided for us in a way that we didn't even go into debt. I was making, I told it earlier today, I was making here, our expenses were here. Somehow we never were late on a payment. Everything was always provided for, and that was God. It wasn't us, it was God. You know, we clung to Jeremiah 29:11, which says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's what he's done for us. You know, like I said, I was in Fort Wayne, so I drove back and forth from Indianapolis. Kind of a long haul. But anyhow, I used to listen to a song on Third Day. Anybody know Third Day? Jason's shaking his head. Yeah, good. Give Me a Revelation. If you haven't heard it, look it up. But at that time, that was my theme song. It says, give me a revelation. Show me what to do, because I've been trying to find my way. I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here, or do I need to move? Give me a revelation. I've got nothing without you. And I can remember praying that to the Lord, you know, because I didn't have a clue. But, you know, we didn't have the opportunity to come back this way before my mother had passed. But, you know, looking back now, I realized that it was God's timing. You know, after 2.5 years of doing the UPS thing and really no Louisville job transfers in the foreseeable future, we decided we had to move on. In 2010, I applied for a position with LG&E for mechanical maintenance, but I was offered a job in electrical maintenance. Once again, God knew what was best in my life. In 2011, as we were here working, the Pierces, I think they were in early service around here, they actually were down to Lutheran Church. They had a little craft bazaar or craft fair down there, and they invited Darlene, her mom was down visiting, asked them to come to Ballardsville here. Well, shortly after that, we received a mug, a muffin, and a little bitty invitation to Awana's on our front door. Well, we was going to a church in Louisville, but they didn't have any Wednesday night activities. So we brought the boys here, and we did the study here and really enjoyed it. Well, lo and behold, Sunday morning come around, we was going to go to our church, and, well, we were running late, you know. Like I say, we had car troubles. We got into it late, I guess. But anyhow, we couldn't make it, so we said, well, let's go to Bowersville. And we just lived down the road. Let's go check out their Sunday program. So we come, and we talked about it afterwards, and I said, man, I'd like to go back there. And the rest is history. You all haven't been able to get rid of us yet. So, you know, this has always been a place here at Ballardsville where we know that we're loved and there's a lot of grace. We know this is a place where we can not only grow and disciple, but we can be discipled as well. And we really feel this is where the Lord wants us to serve. You know, in a nutshell, I guess my testimony really is this. You know, when you fully trust in the Lord and you fully rely on Him to take control for your life in the future, you know, He's going to be faithful. He's going to walk with you. He's going to provide you peace that you, you know, can't imagine. And He's going to give you opportunities to do things in your life that you did not know you were capable of doing. You know, God's time has provided me with opportunities to be used of Him, and I'm grateful for that. You know, when Pastor Tony, Brother Don, that, you know, they first approached me serving as a deacon, I truly thought they lost their minds. It wasn't that I didn't want to serve or wasn't willing to serve. I really thought, man, there's a lot of people that know the Bible better and would be better suited at that role than I. But after much prayer and studying 1 Timothy, I accepted. After all, as Christians, we're all called to serve. And that's what I'll do for you guys here. Thank you.
When we look for deacons, we are looking for people who are already serving, already ministering, already solid in their faith, and already trusting that God's going to provide for them. And so anyone can nominate someone to be a deacon. If there's someone who you see that fits the qualifications, biblical qualifications, you can contact the church office and get the paperwork and nominate them to be a deacon. That's open to anyone at any time. There's not just a special time of year. And so and it was real easy when it come to Eddie, because we already saw him ministering, he and his wife, serving the body and going out of their way to minister to people without a title. Before he was ever a deacon, just because God was moving in his heart. And so we're happy to commission him. Now, he wasn't available to be here back in November when we ordained and commissioned David Quillen, Jimmy Williams, and Ryan Sharp. And so that's why we are here today doing this. And back at that time, we answered a question during that ordination service. We answered during the sermon this question: what will be the role of deacons if we had elders, and do we really need both? And what we concluded was that the role of deacon was primarily concerned with the service aspects of ministry, and the role of elder was concerned with the teaching aspects of the ministry. We concluded that they serve in complementary roles that enable the church to be strong in both word and deed. And that's what we're called to do, to be strong in the word, but also be strong in ministry and making sure that the needs are taken care of. The deacons ensure that the deeds are done and that the needs are being met, so that the pastor can focus on the primary role of shepherding and teaching and preaching. Some churches will lean more towards the word, and they are strong in theology, but they normally can be weak in the deeds. They can be weak in the care ministry, and they're said, though, they don't care much. They've got the Bible down, but there's not much love. And then there's other churches that are really, really strong in caring for the needs of people, but they're not very strong in the Word. They have a weak theology or a liberal theology. The Bible doesn't say that we should be either or. We should be both and. We must be both and. Both word and deed. And so today, we're going to consider specifically at Ballardsville, what do we ask our deacons to do? What is their job description? And to do that, we want to look at Acts chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, please go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. What are we asking deacons to do? The ministry description, if you will. And it comes from these passages. As well as you can, when you have time, you can look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, and see the qualifications for deacons there. But in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, pick out among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Let's pray. Lord, we are indeed grateful for your word, and Lord, the example that you give us. And we're grateful, Lord, that you call us to yourself, to be a body, to represent you in this place, and you tell us and equip us to do that, Lord, and none of us can do that by ourselves. None of us can fully live the Christian life without other Christians. It's just the way you've made it. We need each other. We need to complement each other. And so, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for these men and this congregation and the men that they've chosen to be deacons. We pray that you will give all of our men a heart for the poor and a heart for the needy and a heart for the lonely, every single person. Lord, make this church the people that you want us to be. And turn the hearts of the fathers, dear Lord, towards the needy sons. And turn the hearts of the sons towards the fathers. I pray, dear Lord, that you would be with Eddie and Darlene and Ethan and Aiden today and always for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in November, I explained this text in great detail, and you can go back and watch that online if you want. Right now, we're just going to hit the high spots and, again, move into what we ask deacons to do here. As the early church was growing, great many people were coming to the faith. Some of the people got upset because the apostles appeared to be showing favoritism, and they were not helping everyone fairly, so it was accused. We don't know if that accusation was real. We don't know if they were really showing favoritism or if it just appeared that way. But nevertheless, that was the accusation, the charge. So the apostles saw that they could not be faithful to the ministry of the Word that they had been called to, the ministry of prayer specifically, and the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the Word. They could not be faithful to that as they were called to do and fully meet and minister to the needs of the widows and the needy in the church. So in verse number 2, he tells us that the 12 gathered the whole church, and they said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to serve the tables. In verse number 3, they directed the church to select 7 qualified men, and the 12 apostles would appoint them to the duty of caring for the needs of the people, while in verse 4, it tells us that they devoted themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Verse 5 says that the proposal pleased everyone, so they proceeded with the plan. They chose these 7 men, presented them to the apostles who laid their hands on them, and prayed for them, thus publicly appointing or commissioning them to the task of ministering to the needy people in the congregation. And that is what we're going to do today over Eddie, is we're going to place our hands upon him, and we're going to pray for him, appointing him to this task. And as a result, verse number 7 tells us that the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Now, this passage sets up why they needed these men, these 7 as they're called, and these were the prototype of the deacons. They weren't necessarily deacons, but what happened here would become what we know as deacons in other churches. And so this would be the prototype or the beginning of that type of ministry. And the Ballardsville deacon, the deacons who serve here, they have some specific responsibilities that we ask them to do. And I want you to know what those are. We've talked about the qualifications before. We've talked about their role and various things. But what do our deacons do? And so this is off their ministry description, their job description. It says, the first thing is we ask them to oversee and ensure the unity and spiritual well-being of the congregation. Now, certainly, this is the job of everyone. It's also the job of the pastor and staff. But to oversee and ensure the unity and spiritual well-being of the congregation is something that we're all supposed to do. Every single Christian, it is your responsibility to ensure the unity of the church and to oversee the spiritual conditioning well-being of the people. It's our job. When you join a church, you're actually, we have this idea of membership. When you join a church, you're actually joining a church to submit to, not to belong to. It's to submit to. It's to say, help hold me accountable. And so we need other Christians in our life to look after our spiritual well-being, to come alongside us and say, hey, man, the way you're treating your wife and kids is not godly. Let me show you a better way. Let me pray for you. Let me help you. The way that the way that you're talking, the way that and we help each other grow, and this, the unity of the church, again, it's every Christian's responsibility. James talks about it. We don't have time to go into it today, but just how, just with our mere comments, our tongue is like a spark in a forest, and it can start a fire that cannot be put out. It can burn the whole building down, the whole forest down. Remember, the seven here, they were responding to division in the church. The accusation was that the apostles, we're talking about the apostles, the people, Peter and James and John and those who walked with Christ, the people were upset with them because they're showing favoritism, and or they appeared to be showing favoritism. And so they responded to the rift in the church. And that's what we have to do. That's what we do, is we respond. The second responsibility is they serve. The deacons serve as the right hand of the pastor and staff. And under that, there's several bullet points. And what that means is that they assist us in our ministry to the church and the community. Deacons come along beside because no one person can fulfill all of the needs and do all the work that's needed. We can't do that. That's the difference of a lot of times between churches that are growing and churches that are not, is because many times, and you've seen it, there's churches in the community and they want the pastor to do absolutely everything. They want him to do all the preaching, do all the teaching, do all the weddings, do all the burials, do all the visitations, do absolutely everything. And there's no possible way that one man can do that, nor should he. Because the role of the pastor and staff is the word, the ministry of the word. Ministry of the word. And so depending upon what God's called them to will determine how it is that they serve that out. But the deacons come along beside them and help them do that. The church that requires the pastor to show up at every event will not have many events, or they'll have a pastor that doesn't have a home life. The pastor will end up getting divorced or something like that. And that happens. The second bullet point under service the right hand of the pastor and staff is protecting the ministry from divisive attacks. And I know this will be shocked, but sometimes there are divisive attacks against the pastor and the staff. There was divisive attacks against the apostles right here. There were divisive attacks against Jesus. It happens. And it has to happen. It has to happen. And here's the reason why, especially in the way we operate. If a decision is made, normally not everyone's going to agree. We know that, right? And so you have half the people happy about it and half the people mad about it, and that's where things happen. And so what the generally would happen is either decisions stop being made so as to protect the unity, or you make the decisions that seem to be best and God-honoring and pleasing, and then you try to walk along beside everyone and help them restore unity and reconciliation. It's not possible to please everyone. The third bullet point is ensuring that the pastor and staff maintain a healthy balance at home. It's real easy for pastors and staff people and even ministry leaders, lay ministry leaders as well. It's real easy for them to try to meet everyone's expectations. And it's called living in the fishbowl. You try to meet everyone's expectations, but you can't. And oftentimes, they have expectations of your family too, your kids, your wife, and all of this. And then you get mad at your family because they haven't met the expectations of your people in the church. And you take that out on them. Or oftentimes, you get home and there's not any grace left over in the tank because you've been being nice to people all day long, expending all that grace, and then when you get home, you take it out. It is the deacon's job to help us as pastors and staff not to do that to our families, to be balanced, to be healthy in our home life as well as our church life. Because it doesn't matter how successful a pastor is, if he fails at home, he's failed, even in ministry. Because his first ministry is to his family. And that's what the deacons do. They help. They help share that. They help make sure. And then also serving as a sounding board and a solace for the pastor and staff. And this happens. Oftentimes, you need another perspective. You need someone to talk to. If we were to try to do something and not talk to the deacons about it first, then it's going to be quite foolish, especially anything of substance. Because they will tell you, they'll give you another perspective. You'll see how they react. If their jaw drops to the table and their tongues fall out, you know you've got some more work to do on that proposal because something's wrong. And they help you. They help you. And then let's say you get cross-sided. Say the pastor staff gets cross-sided towards. So you can go to them and you can talk to them and you say, hey man, this is what's going on. And they can say, well listen, your attitude's kind of simple there. But they'll hear you and they'll pray for you and they'll say, hey, you know, you don't have to think that way. And they can give you a better perspective on what's going on. And so their role is very important. Very important to complementing the role of the pastor and the staff. And as I said, they're a great place to introduce new ideas. The third responsibility is that they facilitate scriptural reconciliation in all problems in the church. That is their job, to facilitate scriptural reconciliation. And that goes back to preserving the unity in the body. But oftentimes in the church, there is going to be division. You read the Bible, it's full of it. Even in the New Testament, it's full of it. And part of what we need to do as a church is to respond biblically to those problems. The deacons help us do that. They show us how that's done. They lead us to Scripture. They say, well, here's the right way to handle that. You look over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, and it tells us the blueprint for facilitating this reconciliation according to biblical principles. You don't talk about your problems with people. You don't talk about what they like or don't like about them. You go to them and talk to them. And how would the church be different? And not just this church, every church on the planet. How would it be different if people, when they got upset with one another, rather than gossiping about it or talking about it or trying to win people to their side, if they went to the person and said, hey, brother or sister, I think you did this or I think I heard this and it kind of put me in a bad way. Can we talk about it? I think you sinned against me. I think you sinned in this way. And talk to them about it. And work through the biblical. And the Bible says if they repent of that, if they acknowledge it, and if their sin did occur, then you forgive them. And that's what this Lord's Supper's about. The Lord's Supper is like the divine reset. It reminds us of the great forgiveness we got in Christ. In Christ. When the Bible talks about the Lord's Supper in Corinthians, it's within the context of the division that's in the church. And they say, listen, be unified. When we consider the great forgiveness, the great sin that I've sinned against Christ and how He's forgiven me, then how can I not forgive someone else? When you consider all that Christ is forgiving you of, how can you not willingly, openly, and wantingly forgive other people? We should be eager to forgive as Christ forgives us. And that's what this reminds us of even here. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Deacons indeed are called to be peacemakers in our church. The fourth responsibility is to actively participate and support Sunday and Wednesday activities unless they're providentially hindered. And many, if that sounds familiar, it's because it's on our Sunday school leaders' job responsibilities. It's on ministry leaders' job responsibilities. And it is to actively or support Sunday and Wednesday activities unless providentially hindered. And providentially hindered means that God somehow created a circumstance in your life that you cannot make it. Work might be one of those circumstances, but just deciding not to come is not one of those circumstances. If we're going to have leaders in the church, in the congregation, they need to be here when the congregation is here, and that is what's expected of our deacons, and they do a good job of that. Our leaders, again, whether Sunday school teachers, pastors, deacons, children's workers, or anyone else, need to participate in our services. The fifth qualification is similar. It says serve, or actually, this is still under the fourth. When we have our training sessions and things like that, the deacons are to participate in training sessions. And our deacons, they get trained. They submit themselves. They're learners. If you want to be a leader, you have to be a learner. And that is part of being a leader. And so our deacons have meetings and they have opportunities to learn and to get together and talk about the things that are going on in the church, to get together and hear the plans that are happening and to speak into those things. And that's very, very important. The fifth thing is that they serve in crisis ministry teams in order to minister to shut-ins, those with health issues, to minister in death situations, emergency situations, and hospitalizations. And the way this works is all of our deacons are paired up. And each deacon serves a one-week rotation. And so two deacons right now, they start on Sundays. I think they end on Saturdays. So there's two new deacons today. And if someone's in the hospital or there's an emergency situation, they will respond to that in the appropriate way for the circumstance and make sure that family knows that they're ministered to, they're cared about, that they're loved, that someone in the church loves them and supports them. And that works in conjunction with everything that's going on in our Sunday school classes. Our Sunday school classes, you are asked that when an emergency happens to someone that you know or is connected to your Sunday school class or in your Sunday school class, that people will go and minister to those families, go see them in the hospital, go take them meals, go do those sorts of things. And then the pastor and staff, when we're available, we will go and do those things too. And so any potential person should have two or three people visiting them per crisis per week. And when that happens, people know, hey, I'm loved, I'm cared about, I'm remembered. And when needs come up, the deacons can meet those needs because they hear about them. And they serve on these teams. And when there's not people in the hospital, there's not any crisis going on, then they reach out to our shut-ins and our senior adults and people who are older and have failing health or health issues. And they'll reach out to them and see how they are and make sure that their needs are met. And again, that dovetails with our Sunday school group ministry as well, and care group ministry. They actively participate in the trainings unless providentially hindered. We've talked about that. They administer the Lord's Supper. Our deacons take it as honor to serve the Lord's Supper because it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the forgiveness. It's a reminder of what Christ did for us and how He served us. And so when they're serving you, it's a reminder that Christ has served them and they are serving in that regard and they participate in that. And they help as needed in the worship services, whether it's counseling or prayer or baptism, safety issues. There's deacons and as well as other greeters and things who are outside our service every week. They go by and they lock the doors and they're making sure the children are taken care of and they're monitoring the circumstances outside. Deacons and ushers are doing that and greeters and making sure that we're safe. So you can see there's a vital role of the deacon here at BBC to the ministry. It's very important. And so it's with great honor that we set these men apart, and it's with great honor that we set Eddie apart and we appoint him to these duties as we will here this morning. So I'm going to ask Eddie if you would come forward at this time and ask the deacons to come forward at this time. As you gather around him, I'm going to give you this charge. This charge is, I believe, comes from what God wants us to do as a church, as a body. It's not just to Eddie, it's to all of us, it's to all these men, but it's especially to you. And so my charge is that you serve the people. You minister faithfully to this body and you reclaim the biblical role of deacon so the church can be strong in both word and deed. Word and deed. Show us how to love our neighbors as ourselves. Show us how to visit the widows and the orphans. And show us how to use our money in helping others. Help our church prioritize our budget to meet the needs of those who have need. Near the end of our Lord's time, with the disciples, he was preparing to leave them in Matthew 25, and he told them about when he'll return and he'll separate people like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he puts his sheep on his right side and he says this to them. He says, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And they will ask and say, when did we do these things? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to the least of one of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. Deacons, make this your priority. Church, family, make this your priority. Ministry leaders, make this your priority. Sunday school leaders, make this your priority. As we as a church make this our priority, the Lord will be pleased. Now I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, please come up and gather around. Anyone that wants to come up and pray for Eddie during this time of ordination.